Today's daf is daf Pechet, and we're in the middle of an interesting problem. We had a machlokas in the Mishnah about what the situation is in terms of the responsibility of a storekeeper who takes an order from a child and sends the order back together with the change that the child brought, to the coin that the child brought. And now the child loses the coin, breaks the jar that the order was put in. So we had a machlokas over here between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if a child comes into a store, the assumption is the parent sent the child to buy what it was and bring it home. In which case, it was basically the dot of the person who made the order that it should be delivered to him in this fashion. So he's taking the risk. Mashen King, according to the Tanakama understands that sending a child to the store is only to put in an order, not to request delivery. And that if the Chenveni wants to send it with the child, then it's on the Chenveni's cognizance. And the Chenveni is going to end up being responsible if, Lamaisa, the child ends up breaking what it is and losing what it is that he was given. So where we ran into trouble was the Tzluchit. The Tzluchit, after all, we assume in a standard case was brought by the buyer, in this case the child, was given to the Chenveni to fill, then returned to the child. So in the end of the Mishnah, we saw that if the Chenveni never takes the flask, he just sort of fills it up. So then in that case, the Chenveni would be potter even according to the Chachomi. But that made the Mishnah a little bit difficult, because if Lamaisa, the father, gives a breakable thing to the child, which is not taken by the Chenveni, so then that's an Aveda Midat. At what point would the Chenveni be chayev for an Aveda that was an Aveda already at that point? You see, Bishleima the Punyon that he took from the child, although the Punyon was also an Aveda Midat. But now the storekeeper took it. If he took it, now he's responsible to give him the change and so on and so forth. He accepted it as the payment. He has to give him the change and he has to give him the oil. That's up to him to get to the father. It makes no difference to us whether the father was responsible or not. But when it comes to the tzluchit, Chenveni doesn't take the tzluchit. He fills the tzluchit. So how did he all of a sudden become responsible for the tzluchit? So that it's only in the last case where, if he only pours it into the tzluchit, and in the first case he didn't pour it into the tzluchit, what in the world is the difference? So this is what we were trying to figure out yesterday. So we started with a couple of possible explanations that it's kedai to review, because we're going to be going into it a little bit more. One explanation was the halacha of Shmuel, which was really an awfully difficult way of understanding the Mishnah, but what can you do? We figured that it's got to be that somehow or other the Chenveni was kena the glass that he puts the oil into, even though, for all intents and purposes, he was only pouring the oil into it for the parent. So why was he kena it? So Shmuel has a mimer, in which we're going to apply to Shmuel himself, didn't apply, but we're applying it to the Mishnah, that if somebody is looking over something to buy, and this was a manufactured good, then he breaks it, you broke it, you bought it, basically, is the klal. And therefore, in this case, we could say that the father was not simply sending a glass jar to be filled. He was a jar manufacturer. So he was sending a sample. This was a cute way of his getting the Chenveni to examine the sample. So over there, since glass jars are difficult to come by, we'll see that it's only where the price was set and so on. The price was set. There's no reason to assume you wouldn't buy it unless it turned out to be pagum. It wasn't pagum. So therefore, the moment he picked it up, it's considered to be his. So that explains the nafkamin in the seifa. If he didn't even pick it up, so then it would be no problem. And then Enochinami would be put. The problem is, of course, that if that were the machloket, it would mean that there's a machloket, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, about whether it's true that you broke it, you bought it. Is that true in the case of this? We didn't want to have that be a machloket Tanaim, so we moved on to another possibility. The other possibility was like Rabba. And that is that the Gemara suggests, forget about the father being the good. The glass jar was actually, this is an unusual case, the glass jar was being provided by the seller. So the Chenveni also sold jars along with the oil. And therefore, in this case, perhaps we could say the second essential possibility, which seemed to hold water at first, is the din that even if something is an aveda, that's not machayev you, such as an aveda midat, or the case that we brought was a zokin vein or lefich vado, there's a way that you could become chayev in hashavas aveda, and that is if once you picked it up, or in the case of a wandering goat of the zokin shenik vado, you gave it a kick with a stick or something, and then you're chayev. We were deicha that, first of all, obviously because if it was the same case, it would be the same problem as Shmuel. It would be a machlokas tanoim on Rabba's mimer, that you can become chayev in such cases. But more fundamentally, we're dochet because it's not the same case, which is why it isn't a machlokas tanoim. It's not the same case because in the case of the animal, you actually caused it to be a bigger aveda. Who's to say you'd be mechuyev on an aveda just because you filled it up? Good. So we were stuck yesterday, and we got up to Ela Amarava on the fourth line. Ela Amarava Aniva Arisha Bechaburat Targimnu. I'll tell you, I and the really powerful guy in our group, we came up with the answer. I'm referring to Manos. Who's he referring to? He's referring to Rabbi Zeira. And I and Rabbi Zeira basically come up with the following explanation. What happened over years is that, indeed, this was a useful measuring jar that the father had sent along with the child. So you're saying, okay, but it's an Aveda Midat. What happened over here is that the Chenven, he took it. He used it while the kid was in the store. He had a number of customers. This was a very convenient way of measuring, so he used it to measure. Once he used much for other people. Now that, I mean, nobody ever told him to do that. So that was an act, basically, that he had no right to do. Now the question is, what does that make him? Does that make him a gazlan? Or is he just a borrower who would be mechuyev the way a shoel would be? So that is a machlokus that we've seen before. Is a shoel shalomidat a gazlan, or is a shoel shalomidat just have the dinim of a shoel? That would be the machlokus. What's the difference? The difference is very simple. If you're a shoel, then a shoel has a right to give things back by replacing them where they were. But if you remember, the extra ve'yeshivat ha'gzilah she'er gazal means you have to carry it to him afilu l'madai, and you have to tell him that you had stolen it and it was put back, so he should make sure that he's going to be shomer it, and so on and so forth. In which case, obviously, you can't give it back to a child who's not going to be shomer it. So if you hold that the chenveni is chayav, it's because you hold that a shol shalomidat is a gazlan, and he can't simply give it back to the kid. If you hold that the chenveni is patur, it's an entirely different machloket than about the rest of the issue, which was a question of what's the intent of sending a child to a store. It's a question of whether he has a din of a shoel or a gazlan. So if he's a shoel, you'd be patur because you gave it back. You gave it back where you took it from, and you're not responsible to do more than that. That explains the end of the Mishnah, that if he didn't take it, now here, of course, it doesn't mean he didn't take it at all. According to this explanation, he could take it to fill it for the father. And he'd still be patur. He didn't take for other people, is what we're talking about. He definitely would be patur, according to everybody, because there's nothing over here that makes him chayiv on the tzluchit. He was simply leaving it where it was, so to speak, even though he lifted it up. That's not the point. So let's see that inside. So the way we explained it is b'shor shalomidat kamifli. Mar savar shoel havi, and therefore he put it back, he's patur. Mar savar gazlan havi, said Rabbanan, and therefore he put it back, he's chayiv, because he has to give it back, not put it back where it was. Now getting back to the maimer that we started learning yesterday, which was the halacha of you broke it, you bought it, which was where we thought we could explain the Mishnah by speaking about a father who was also a bottle manufacturer. So let's just look into that, because it sure sounds very strange. Somebody, well, you see, guy walks into a store, takes something off of a shelf, looking at it, and now an accident happens. I'm not pushing out. An accident happens and it breaks. You say, you bought it? Why did I buy it? I was looking at it, considering buying it. So why is Shmuel saying what he's saying? It's a little bit difficult to understand, so let's try to understand it. Gufa. Omar Shmuel anotel kli mina oman levakro v'ne'naz biado. This was not a pshia. I didn't do anything negligent. Nonetheless, you're chayev. Now, where is that? Hanimilu dekitse dame. First of all, it needs to have been defined at its particular value. So I know that I can buy it at such and such a price. And elsewhere, the Gemara says it needs to be something that is in high demand. It's not that easy to get. So we're assuming that the case over here, the glass bottle, is not that easy for the storekeeper to get.
Why is it effective?
Because otherwise, why should we assume that I would buy it? Maybe I'll wait to go to another store. In other words, if I know this is a great opportunity, this is an opportunity, so then why am I looking at it? I'm looking at it just to make sure that it's the quality that I want. But if it's lemaisa of the quality, and I know the price, then I have to assume that my intent was to buy it conditional upon its being found without any pagam. Okay, so that case, enochinami. Now, there was actually a few times where this, like, in crazy ways, this halakha was applied. There was a guy, for instance, Ugavra, Dala Betach, a guy walked into a butcher shop once, and he picks up a side of meat to look at it. So, Agba Atma de Bisra. Ba'aditika Agba, while he had lifted it up and he's looking it over, this horseman comes by, drives by, grabs it out of his hand, and makes off with it. So, Ata Parsha, Amirma Mine, and disappears. He comes to Rabbi Yemar, the butcher wants this guy to pay, because you broke it, even though it was an accident, but Shmuel says even if it was an enos. And indeed, he was mechayev him to pay for it. But of course, there too, he was talking about, he knew exactly what the price was per kilo. There was another guy who had brought pumpkins for sale in Pumnara. And boy, everybody was so excited seeing those pumpkins out there that there were like 300 people came and grabbed. Everybody grabs a pumpkin. So Ote Kuleyama Shoko Karakara. So he's got, he doesn't know how many guys are going to walk off with these things, who he's going to get payment from. The guy gets very upset and he says, Areimu Kudashim Lashamayim. Nobody's getting pumpkins. This is the way you want to act. So Ote Lakami to Rav Kahana. So they come to Rav Kahana. Do they really have to give the pumpkins to Agdash? Omarlu Einada Makdish, Davar Sheino Shelo. It's not his anymore. Based on Shmuel's Maimer, because the moment he picked it up in order to buy it, he already bought it. Sorry? What's the difference? He did, he didn't. But it's certainly usur. As we said, this is only if the pumpkins are priced. They're not priced, then the guy wasn't saying that. It would remain Bershut Demarayu Kaime Veshaper Agdish. And it would still be his Vershus. And it was a good Agdish. Now, this, of course, is assuming that they're not making off with the pumpkins. The intent was to buy it, except the guy got furious because he's going to sit there all day long, sitting around trying to figure out each guy who was it. There's a lot of people there. So he just gave up. But Lemaisa, if they had walked off with it, we already saw it, that neither the Goslin nor the owner can be Magdish. Zem Bipne Shener Shalov, Zem Bipne Shener Bershuto. Because there's two Tanaim.
This has to be the price that it has to be left over.
Well, it probably was. I mean, this actually may be where the minute came from. He was Magdishit L'Shamayim at that point. Tana Rabbana. Halokeach Yerek Min Hashuk. So a guy is sitting there in a vegetable store, and he's selecting vegetables. He's birer, v'hiniach. So he takes a look. Some stuff he puts away. He doesn't like this stuff. And he's birer, v'hiniach, picks up more stuff. He's got now a lot of things that he likes and a lot of things he's put back. And he's really invested a lot of time in this. He's there all day long. If you look, kol yom kulo. But he never said that he is going to be Kenan. So then, lo kana, there was no kinyan, and therefore he was not mitchayev b'maaser. Now the problem over here is for a chaver. Remember, a chaver, the moment that he's kind of something, it becomes now the chumrah of the chaverut that he accepted on himself, is mechayev him to take off trumas and maasers, even though this is demai. So, I mean, he has no reason to think that the seller didn't take off trumas and maasers, but that's our chumrah. Since the other person's not a chaver, we can't trust it. The problem is, once he was kainet, he can't give it back, because a chaver is not allowed to return merchandise that isn't maaser, you see. So over here, the moment that he's gomar belibo liknota, the moment he decides, okay, it's a go, and he likes what he's got, so then, nitchayev maaser, now what's he going to do? If he wants to return it, now obviously, if we just said he was kainet, he can't return it. What it's got to mean is, the guy's willing to take it back. He said, I thought I would buy this, but, actually it's turning out to be too much for me. Okay. Because it's fine, but he can't give it back. Because, so now he's chayiv in maaser. What's he supposed to take off maaser? Well, he can't take off maaser. Because la'asro yefshar, if he's going to take off maaser with the taina, well, I mean, you don't believe that it required maaser. So it's not a problem, right? But it is a problem. Because the Tosfos points out, maybe it's not a problem for the maaser rishon. It's the maaser rishon. This is going to almost make a veil of a raya. So I'll just put it back together with the maaser rishon. Anyway, the lady was not going to get it. But at least it won't be a problem of tevel. But what do you do with the maaser sheni? I give him maaser sheni that you hold. Is usher out of Yerushalayim or usher betuma? You're going to give it to an Amoritz. So now you can't simply put it down because now it was mafchid bedomo. It's now worth less. There's less there.
Is it maaser sheni of the money you're allowed to give it to an Amoritz?
But he's going to, what do you mean, to eat? No. Hoketzad, maasro, venotein lo, the me maaser. You're not your chover. So he has to take off maaser and now he has to make up for the value that he's not going to be giving them. Now, it says, I don't get it. How is he koneh? He never said, I want this. There was no das in the mocha to see this as being sold. And this is certainly not the equivalent of the case we had before where the guy had offered it to him and said, look it over. This is a vegetable store. And people walk in all the time, look over the vegetables, put them back down. So in what sense was there a kinyan? Just because a guy said, I think I'll keep these. In his heart. There was no discussion. This seems a little bit overblown here. Omar of Oshaya, well, you're right. It's not a normal guy we're talking about over here. We're talking about a Yorei Shamayim on the Madrega of Rav Safra. Remember, the Maisa of Rav Safra was that he was once reading Kriyat Shema, and somebody came and offered him a nice price for his chamor. He didn't answer because you're not allowed to even indicate something with your head during Kriyat Shema. So the guy took his non-response as meaning he's not even interested in the offer. So he kept upping the offer. By the time he finishes Kriyat Shema, the guy was offering him double. So Reb Safra, at the end of Kriyat Shema, said, Lona, I was really nechah to your first offer. So I'll only take what you offered me lechatchila. And obviously, he's not b'chuyif to do that. But since he is the kiyem benavshe, v'dover emet bilvavo, so whatever was in his heart was, as far as he's concerned, over. It's done. So even though you say, well, legally, he never said I'm buying, it doesn't matter. Because in terms of chaverut, he would be mechayev to respond as a dover emet bilvavo, and therefore was mechayev him to take off maaser, so he can't give it back. So I have to take off maaser and make up the difference by paying the guy for what's missing. Yori Shemayim could go on Rav Saf. Yeah, somebody was mechayev ben afshe dover emet bilvavo. Not many people who got an offer that they were willing to accept would reject the higher offer on the basis of the lower offer. I mean,
it's amazing.
Continues now the Mishnah. We've been talking about what it is that you have to make sure if you're selling liquid, how it is that you have to let the three drops, and Chayvani was let off for this, but the implications are therefore that there's going to be a certain residue in the measures. Now this can cause trouble, because if the residue builds up, then it turns out that your liter gets smaller and smaller as time goes by. So we need to make sure that we clean that out. The same thing is true if you've got weight. Now even though if a weight gets dirty, ultimately it starts building up discernible differences in weight, which is good for the buyer. So you'd say, okay, so it's your seller's loss. He's going to have to sell out according to the heavier weight. Problem is that the same weight is used also for selling, and in general, is used for selling, is used for buying yourself when somebody else is trying to sell to you, let's say the wholesaler. And in any event, the Torah says, we are not allowed to have weights that are not up to par, measures that are not up to par, as we'll see in the Gemara. And therefore, the Mishnah is interested in defining for us what are the standard for the Bureau of Weights and Measures, what are the standards that are demanded for cleaning off your weights and your measures to make sure that you don't get into this problem. Now, obviously, it will depend on two issues. It will depend on how rapidly a residue builds up, but it will also depend on how much you might have sitting in there that hasn't yet dried. And that would be tend in two different directions. Because if the issue is the residue building up by drying and requiring a major wash in order to get it off, then the more you use your weights, the less rapidly it's going to build up. Because if you're constantly pouring in new wine, you're constantly pouring new oil, that's going to prevent a buildup, even though it would increase the chances that a little bit more will be left in, although it's not dried. On the other hand, if we're talking about what's left in, the more often you use it, then the more likely it is that in any particular cell, there may be something in there. And this is really a question in the Mishnah, what do we look at? So on the one hand, we're going to take two people. The Chenveni is not one of them, because remember, the Chenveni runs into another problem, in that the Chenveni doesn't have to pour out completely every time. So he's even worse. But not talking about the Chenveni. A Siton, who sells a lot, he's a wholesaler. So he's a Mekanech Midotav Achat B'Shoshim Yom. He would have to clean once a month. He'd have to once every 30 days. A balabayit who doesn't sell as much, he only has to clean once l'shnei masar chodesh. So obviously, the Tanakama who says this holds that the more often you use your weight, well, actually, we're talking about measures here, and then we'll talk about the actual weight later, the more often you use it, the more often you have to clean, and that's because the more likely it is there'll be something in there in any particular cell. Because Reb Shimon Gamliel says, what we're looking over here is at the buildup of residue, and therefore it's chiluf advarim. Siton, now, who uses his measures very often, is not going to get much of a buildup, so it's enough if he cleans it once every 12 months. But the balabayit, who doesn't use it very much, he uses it once, he's already got some residue that dries, and therefore he's got to make sure that once every 30 days he clears it out. Now, when it comes to a chenveni, who has the additional point of being someone who does off, according to the Tanakami, is off of the normal charts, because he doesn't have to worry, and he's allowed to even not drip out the three drops, that means that there's even more of a likelihood that something will be left inside. And over there, the chenveni indeed has to be mekaneach midotav pamayim b'shabbat. He's got to get things clear twice a week. And he also has to clean off his weights. That he does because of, again, a buildup of residue, because every time your fingers touch the weight, even if the things that you're weighing aren't going to cause a mess, but your fingers can certainly cause a mess. Therefore, he'd have to clean that out once a week. And if he's got now a moznaim, which has the balance weights, which has a little place where you'll put in, let's say, your flour on one side, the weights on the other, well, then obviously, since it's built as a small container is even more likely to hold a little bit of flour in it. So you've got to clear out your cup on your scale, kol mishkal v'mishkal. Every single time that you do a weighing, you've got to make sure there's nothing left. Where do we say all of this stuff? Where you're talking about things that leave residue. So either we're talking about liquid, such as the oil or such as the wine, or things that are damp, like meat and oily. So there you've got a problem, because indeed they may stick, and they'll stick in the scale too. If we're talking about weighing apples, I mean, there's obviously no apples there, and there's nothing going to stick to the scale. So there, unless, of course, something happened or something got squashed in there, then you'd have to worry about it. But generally speaking, we don't have a standard takana that every time you use the scale, you're going to have to clean it. Now, there's also another issue, as we're going to see the Makor in the Torah, that we give what's known as a baker's dozen. As you add, for every dozen, you add another little piece. So as kids are used to getting free cookies when their parents go in and they buy a cake. Well, the deal is over here that if you use a scale, now there were places where the use of the scale was made as a standard that you always make sure that the merchandise outweighs the weights, so that you don't try to get an exact weight. You call slightly beyond the kilo, that's the kilo. How far down does the scale have to tilt in order for it to be enough to satisfy the requirement of adding? And we'll see where in the Torah we get the idea that we're supposed to add. So you're chayev la'achriya lo tefach. Now, obviously, it depends on the type of mechanical scale, and it depends on the scale that scale is weighing. In other words, obviously, metal is going to have a much bigger scale and a much larger scale. So it's going to be measuring with a larger scale along a wider scale, which means that, you know, a pound here and there isn't going to matter very much. If you're talking about precious metal, then obviously you're going to be using a small mechanism scale, and it's going to be on a very precise smaller scale. And if you're talking about vegetables, that's yet another thing. So we're going to discuss what we're talking about over here, but assuming that we're going along the road that we were talking about, weighing your vegetables and the shuk with a kilo, the seller should always make certain that the side of the scale that contains the veggies is one tefach lower. It doesn't take much extra weight, of course, to push down one side, and we'll see what that shear boils down to. One tefach lower than the other side. On the other hand, if you're in a location where the minig was to try to get a precise weight, which is called ayin ba'ayin, because you can see with each eye, you can see it's on the same level, the weight and the merchandise. So yashokelo ayin ba'ayin, noten lo girumin, then you have to give the equivalent of what the hakra'a would have been. So you've got to add a few extra pieces. And that addition is echad la'asara belach, echad asrim b'yavesh. 1 out of 10, now we're going to see in the Mishnah, doesn't really mean 10%. 1 out of 10 on things that are liquid, and that's because liquid has a tendency to stay behind in the container of the seller, and because of that, he's got to make up for that. And 1 in 20, which again, we'll see, doesn't really mean 1 in 20, if you're dealing with dry measures, the yavish. Mokom shenagol amud bedaka. Now, if the minig was to use a small container to weigh, let's say, or measure out flowers, let's say we've got a saw container, where you've got 6 kav, or we've got a small container, which is the kav container, which is small. Now, each time that you measure, you've got to measure with a little bit extra, which is called the godesh, on top. And if the minig was that the storekeepers use the kav, of which there's 6 to a saw, if a purchaser buys a saw, he's going to get 6 separate measures, which are slightly larger than the kav. So if the storekeeper says, well, if you want a saw, let me measure that out in a saw, if that's not the minig, you're cheating him 5 times that godesh. Obviously slightly less than 5 times because the godesh of a saw is larger. But in any event, the 6 separate weighings as opposed to 1 weighing. And therefore, you can't give him a gasa. The same thing is true of the buyer. The buyer has to be careful not to cheat the seller. And therefore, begasa, if the minig is to have it sold in a saw container, lo yimud bedaka, you shouldn't try buying it in a kav container. If the minig is limchok, lo yigdosh, where they sell exactly at the top, and they take a little piece of plastic and they smooth out the top, that's called mechika, then you should not insist on Gidisha. If it's Gidisha, if the minig is to sell with it being piled up on top, which gives the buyer an advantage, lo yimchok, and you can't, so obviously we're not talking about the simple case of stealing. What we mean is that if the minig is to sell it with a gadush, you can't say, okay, look, I'll give you a 10% discount and take mechok, and vice versa, you can't say, I'll pay a little bit extra and give me the gadush. Because what the minig is kavua as including what it is that the price is defined as, and if it isn't visibly that, then we don't allow a little bit of discount here, a little bit of addition there. Everything should be clearly on the up and up, right on the surface. And in a case, where do we get the idea that you have to go out of your way to be more than accurate? What's wrong with being accurate? Omre Shlokish the Omakra, Evan Shlema Vatzedek Yelach. So what's this Vatzedek? What do you mean Vatzedek? It says the same thing with the Eifa. It says also Eifa Shlema Vatzedek Yelach. So what's the Tzedek? This must mean Tzedek Mishalcha. Make sure that you are making it out of your own Tzedek. Not only Shlema, but a little bit more. So in other words, you're doing an act of giving. An act of giving means that you're selling Berevach. More then you could have gotten away with. Says the Gemara, well, you're saying, Reish Lakish, that the din is a halacha in the actual measurement. That's how you're learning it? But if that's the case, how could it ever be that the Mishnah would allow places to be ayin b'ayin and then make up for it? I mean, that's not tzedek. If the Torah is telling you that the weighing itself is supposed to be tzedek, so then how do you get away with ayin b'ayin? Yochi ema seifa. Ayin b'ayin means that both sides of the scale are even. So then you weren't tzedek mishalcha. Where's the Evan? Doesn't it say, Ashokelo, ayin b'ayin, noten lo giruma? The iachra'a dioraita, heche yovele ayin b'ayin. If you're telling me that it's a din dioraita, that it has to be done bedafka in this way, by making sure that I watch the scale and see the scale as tzedek. So that's a gzerat hakatuv. You can't make up for it in some other way. Ella says, well, you're right. We made a mistake. The reisha is b'mokum shenagu. In other words, Reish Lakish was not coming to say that there's a chiyuv in the actual weighing process. That is a function of the minhag. There's different ways you could be machriya. You could be machriya by giving him a little bit extra. That's the baker's dozen idea. You could be machriya by showing him that you're actually pushing down the scale. The Torah is not being makvid on the act. And we were wrong in saying that Reish Lakish was referring to the reisha. Ki itmar de Reish Lakish asefa itmar. Reish Lakish was saying now that you see that even in a case where the minhag is to be shokelo ayin ba'ayin, that nonetheless you have to make up for him girumin. Does that make sense? If we know that we're doing things accurately, what's wrong with being accurate? Binani milik. Om Reish Lakish da makra v'tzedek. That means tzedek mishalcha v'tein lo. So in other words, I could just have assumed that the issue over here is make sure you're accurate. Since scales, we'll see, obviously there's different types of scales. I mean, you go into Machane Yehuda, I mean, you look at those scales and those measurements, you're not exactly dealing with like a digital weighing system. So, okay, so to make sure you're not cheating him, you give him extra. But in a case where it's iron by iron, it means I'm using a digital scale. So, well, what's wrong? That's the question. So the point that Reish Lakish is making is not make absolutely certain. It's rather give him more, even when you know absolutely certain. So tzedek mishalcha, not in the ofen of the weighing. That's not the point. So on that, Om Reish Lakish, tzedek mishalcha v'teinu. V'kama girumin. How much lemaisa is meant? Because the Mishnah, clearly, something's missing over there. Om Reb Abba bar Mamal Om Rav, it means echad mi'asorah belitra belach. But it's clear that what's missing in the Mishnah is that this is la'asara litrin. In other words, if you're weighing out 10 liters, let's say, so this should be done now, that amount per. What's the per? Per cent. So per cent means that if I'm weighing out 100, I'm taking out 1. So 1% is what it's saying. So it would be 1/10 if I'm weighing out 10 liters 10 times. So then I would be giving him a 1% additional. That's what the Mishnah means. So in other words, the Tana, as the Rashbam says, didn't feel like repeating asara la asara. That sounded a little bit funny. So he's being medayek goloshen of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, echad la asara milach. It doesn't say echad me asara. So 1 to each 10, where's the other 10? So obviously I'm not giving you another measurement. It's 10 of these measurements, is what I'm saying. So therefore, if I do this 10 times, I'm going to be giving you 1 of 10 to 10 measurements, which is 1/10 to 10 measurements, which is 1/100. And the Tana didn't want to be Teireya. So understands the Rashbam in the Mishnah. But of course, that gives rise to the question, so what's the next meaning? When you say Echad Le'esrim, what is Echad Le'esrim supposed to mean? Because now I can no longer use, does it mean a 20 to 20 weights? 1/20 to 20 weights, in which case it would mean 1/4 of 1%. Because I'm giving you only now the first of all, the 1/20, that was 0.5%. We started off with multiplying it 20 times. Now it's only 1/4 of a percent. Is that how I read it? Or is the 20 only referring to the last piece? So it would mean 0.5%. Now, I'm not exactly sure how the Tana may use that word, meaning, and double that. So I'm thinking, echad le'asara l'liter, it means echad le'asara l'liter le'asara. So if I say le'esrim, then it would be echad le'esrim le'esrim. I'm not quite sure how I'm supposed to read that. Asks the Gemara, so how do I read that? Iboilo. Hechikoma. Echad mi'asara balach le'asara dalach. V'yechad be'esrim b'yavesh l'esrim b'yavesh, which would drag it all the way down to a quarter of a percent. El dilma echad me'asara li'asara delach u'lesrim b'yavesh. So he's only talking about the missing measurement over here. The missing measurement is how many times is this being done for you to get that amount. So then it's 20 times. Okay, if it's 20 times, then it's a half a percent. So you're getting one 20th, then that would be now four the 20 times. That's the question. So half or a quarter. Take it. There's no way to be medayik from the Mishnah one way or the other. Omer Rabbi Levi, you should know, you think this is a minor issue. Kosha onshan shal midot yoter mi onshan shal arayot. Suppose to our modern sense of morality, in which they may let walk off with an extra pencil, take some paper out of the office, lo nora, you know. But I mean, chas v'shalom, make off with the secretary, God help us. In truth, it's exactly the opposite. Make off with the secretary, memela. But walking off with an extra sheet of paper from the office, that is serious.
It shows
you
really screwing that,
but so shazeh ne'emar b'hem el. Zeh ne'emar b'hem eila. Look at the difference when the Torah is talking about the nature of toeva. We're real all into the sexual element of toeva. But when it comes to the toeva of Arayas, it says that kol ha-toevot ha-el asu anshei ha-aretz asher lifnechem. But when it comes to keeping, and we're talking about just keeping a inaccurate measure, it says ki toavat Hashem elokecha kol ha-se eile. So in other words, it's even a greater toeva. And therefore, it's clear which one is more chamur. How do you know, by the way, the word el is how chamur it is? My mashmad hai el kasha dichtiv. By Nebuchadnezzar, it says, ve'et elei ha'aretz lakach. He took the most powerful in the land with him to Bavel. That was the original Dikramash Masger and so on. So that clearly it's referring to the most serious, most important of the people. And therefore, toevot, el, are not as serious as toevot ha'ela. Doesn't matter how many times things like this are repeated in the Gemara, it makes absolutely no impact on people's system of values, which they derive from secular society. It's unbelievable. The real world is the world of the New York Times. The world of the Torah, that's the same, you know, some kind of moralistic vision that isn't meant to be serious.
They're not called Ela also, all right?
The Gemara will ask that, of course. David, come on. Omer Rebbe Levi. Kosha on shon shel midot yoter mi on shon shel arayot. Shen bar bem el, zen bar bem el, my mashma, et el yaretz lakach. Fine. Says the Gemara. Now, the problem is, gabe arayot, doesn't David point out that nami achtiv ele? No, that's different. If you take a look at the context, it says, ki kol asher yaseh b'kol ha-toivot ha-ele v'nichretu. There it's talking about the onesh, meaning to what happens to somebody who does this. V'nichretu. So if it hadn't said ha-ele v'nichretu, you would have said that there's a chiv of karet by the midot. Now it turns out that we're limiting the chiv of karet to arayot. Says the Gemara, so I understand, isn't that an indication of what's chamur? Why are you, so then how could you say that the arayot is less chamur if on the arayot there is karet and not here? So then why do you say it's morally worse? Elamai utfayu. Then what makes you see that they're greater? Fine, you were medayik that it's greater, but if in practical terms, in terms of onesh, it's not greater. Where is the practical implication of its being worse than the arayot? Huh? The practical is very clear. It's because you see that when it comes to arayot, you can always do tshuva. Hatam efshar b'tshuva. Hacha lo efshar b'tshuva. How are you going to do tshuva for a chet with midot? You've got thousands of customers. You were in this store for 10 years, and it was 0.01% off. Add that up to 2 million times that you've sold with them. Who are you going to pay exactly? How much are you going to pay? How are you going to trace the people? There's nothing to do about it. So therefore, there's no way to do teshuva. Even though, obviously, we said, if you don't know, you the rabbi, you can use it to build highways or Beit HaKnesset. But that's not really a tikkun. It's like it's a nice thing to do, but it's not going to make up to give it back.
So we're not really learning it from that.
No, we are. We're saying that chumrah is actually a chumrah. It's not, you would think it's a logistic issue. When we're asking with my ot fire, we mean how is it expressed? So you can't say something is more chomer when in terms of our dealing with it, we'll deal with the other thing as being more chomer. So the Gemara is saying, so where is it more chomer? Here it's more chomer. But I still need to know from the pasuk that this is a be'etzem chomer. It's not a logistic chomer. It means that it's a greater moral failing because doing an act that can never be fixed is worse than doing an act that's always lemaisa, addressable. The Omer Rebbe Levi, another surprising difference in moral hierarchy, points out Rebbe Levi, is that stealing from a hedyot is worse than stealing from the Beit HaMikdash. Kasher gezel hedyot, yoter mi gezel gavoa. Where do I see that? Shezeh higdim chet lemi'ila, because in one case you have by the head yod, it says nefesh kitech etta, and then it says umwal amal b'ashem. So the first thing that you've done is a chet. Masha inkein, when it comes to hegdesh, you have exactly the opposite. Zeh higdim mi'ila lechet. When it comes to hegdesh, you are not going to be chata unless it's kitimo ma'al v'chata. So you're not considered to be a chete until you actually use the hegdesh. Mashen came when you're dealing with edyot, the moment that you took something from somebody else, even if you didn't use it, you're already considered to be a chote. Omer Rabbi Levi, Bo'ur Eit, Shalokim Midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midat Basar Vadam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Berach Yisrael Be'Srim V'Shtayim Otiyot. In other words, V'Kilalan B'Shmona. We see that the brachas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu include every possible bracha that are included in the alphabet. Birchan Be'Srim V'Shtayim, from the letters, Im Bechukotai, which starts with an aleph, until V'Olechetchem Komemiyut, that ends with a taf, is Me'alev Ataf. So every possible bracha is included in those short words. But Kilalan B'Shmona, where he begins, ve'im bechukotai timasu, ad ve'et chukotai ga'ala nafsham, so that's from vav to mem, nu, lo nora, at least it's not 22 otiyot, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gives us the tochacha, it's the exact opposite. He was bevarach Yisrael b'shemona, and he was bekalal on Besser Mishtayim, girchan b'shemona. He starts from Vav and ends with mem, the same shemona otiyot. So, ve'haya im shamoa tishma'u, and ends with the word, Lalechet achrei Elohim achrim la'ovda. That's the end of the introduction to the Tochacha. Okay, so then we have now eight otiyot. Masha Enkein, the klol in the Tochacha itself, is Ve'haya im lo tishma, and it goes all the way to V'ein koneh. Now koneh is a hey. The only way you get to hey from Vav is by going all the way around. So it means you'll have to go back all the way 22 otiyot. Now the Marshal points out, okay, but at least it's going backwards. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving a bracha, goes forward, so it tends to repeat itself and grow, because it's a spiral, spiraling upwards. At least the klolas of Moshe Rabbeinu are spiraling downwards. So you get that advantage. Elo amarava aniva rishibecha bura targiminu humanu rebi zera achvaya skinan. Question over here is b'shor shalom idat kam yifugya. Mar savar shalavi, umar savar gazanavi. Guva. Omar shual anotel klei minu uman lefakro v'nenaz v'yado chayav. V'hani milayu dekitzi dame. Hu gav edo legabit tavcha. And he picks up an atman de bistra. Ba'adi dekag ba'ata parsha mirma minei. Oto dekam in Rav Yemar and chivei l'shalom idamera. But how do you know the kids are dumb? Or who gave the idea to carry the pum nahara? Or to call the yamah shoku kara kara? Or I'm like, forget, I can't take this. All right, mukdash in the shamay. Or to the kamir of kana, amarlu, in the magish dover shen shalo. Vahani milu yu de kitsi damayu. Avalo kitsi damayu. Brushut marayu kaime vishaper agish. Ton rabbon alokeh yerek menashuk. Ubirer viniach, ubirer viniach. Afilo kalayam kulo lo kana. But the moment that Gomar Baliba Lignoto, Kanav Nitchayev Maaser, now what's he going to do? Lachziro Yevshar Shekvar Nitchayev Maaser, Lasro Yevshar Shekvar Mafkitan Bedamim, Hakeitzad, Maasro, Venotain Lotabe Maaser. Atumishum de Gomar Baliba Lignot, Kanav Nitchayev Maaser, no further discussion? Omre Vashaya, Hachabiyarisha Mayim Askina. Gagon Rav Safra, the Kayim ben Nafshei, Vidover Emet Bilvavo. Hasiton Mekaneh Midotav Echad Shloshim Yom, Balabayit Echad Shlem Asar Chodesh. Rav Shemi ben Gamliel Omer Chiluf HaDvorim. Achen Vani Mekaneh Midotav Pa'amayim B'Shabbat, Umemachem Mishkelotav Pa'am Achat B'Shabbat, Umekaneh Mo'oznayim Alkom Mishkal U'Mishkal. Omer Rav Shemi ben Gamliel, Bameh Dvorim Amurim Balach, Avo Biyavesh Eno Tzarich. Then he has to give him the giruma. Echad la'asor balach, echad la'esrim biyavesh. Mokam shenoagu lamud bedaka, lo yamud begasa, begasa lo yamud bedaka. Limchok lo yigdosh, ligdosh lo yimchok. Minon emilu yom reshlokish de amakro, even shlema v'tzedek, means tzadek bishachavateno. Iachi yema seif, haya shokelo ayin v'ayin, oten lo giruma. How can he possibly be matter to be yovel ayin b'ayin? Ela reisha b'makom shenagu v'chid b'adar shlokesh ha-seifa itmar. Hayashokelo ayin b'ayin noten lo girumin minadi milei. Omer shlokesh damakra v'tzedek mitzadek b'shalcha v'ten lo. V'kame girumin. Omer baba bar mama l'amarab. It means echad mi'asara b'litra b'lach per asara litrin. Echad la'asara b'lach v'echad li'esrim b'yavash ibaylu. Echad mi asara balach le asara dalach, the echad mi esrim diyavish le esrim diyavish, which gives you 0.25%. Odilma echad mi asara le asara dalach ule esrim diyavish. Take it, it's with 0.5%. Omer Levi kasha on chan shal midot yoter mi on chan shal arayot. Sheze neemar bem el, veze neemar bem ele. So umay mashma tahay el kashel tichtivet ele haaretz lakach. So Gabay Arayot, Nami Aktiv Eila. Now that's only to be Mamayat Midot Mikaret. So then what's Kasha Onshan? So Mayot Fayu. Tahatam Efshar B'tshuva. Vachalo Efshar B'tshuva. Vom Rabbi Levi Kasha Gezel Ediot. Yoter mi Gezel Gavoha. Shezeh Igdim Chet Lebi Ila. Vezeh Igdim Ila Lechet. Vom Rabbi Levi. Bo Reish Loki Midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midat Basar Vadam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Birach Yisrael B'esrim Mishtayim. Vekilalam B'shmoneh. Berchan mi 22 me im bechukot atelecho ad volechet chem koma miyut vekilolan b'shmona me ve im bechukatim asu and then vechukotai gaala nafsham vavtemem v'il Moshe Rabbeinu is berchan b'shmona from vavtemem vekilolan b'esrim mishtayim berchan b'shmona mi vehaya im shamoa tishma ve'ad la'ovdam. And then Kilolam Vesrim Mishtaim Mi Vehayayim Lotishma Ad Ve'in Koneh Hey coming before Vav.